Welcome to the Playful Spirituality Podcast, a place to reconnect to spirit, to reclaim your unbridled wildness, and to bring you home to you. I'm Cara Viana, and I'm honored to be on this adventure with you. This is a place to discover your magic and your superpowers. And yes, you definitely have them. It's designed to tap you into the unconditional love and support flowing to you, and to help you access that wild, unbridled joy that we so often lose touch with. You can expect all sorts of resources, from spiritual and practical tools and teachings to guided meditations and energy healing. We'll have some special guests and even some live readings. This show is for all of us who are humaning, to help you navigate this ride of life. If you are open to a little more support, more ease, a broader connection to the universe and to yourself, then stay tuned and find out what might be possible with an infusion of playful spirituality. Hello, loves. We are gonna dive into the juicy and deep and sometimes murky topic of relationships in the next couple episodes, and I'm pretty excited about it. A lot of people who know me know this is a topic that I absolutely love to discuss. I think that there's a big missing piece in our society of conversations around appreciation and celebration in relationships. Since it is the fall, and in the fall we generally open the doors for relationship alchemy, which I'm pretty excited about because we took last year off of this program because of the filming of the television show about my family that airs on Magnolia Network. If you haven't seen it, it's pretty amazing. It's all about my dad. It's called The Craftsman. And last year, I took a little break from adding in new programs for a few months at the end of the year so that I could go be present and help with that. And this year, I've been able to help with that and still keep doing all the things I do. So doors for relationship alchemy are about to open, and everyone who's taken the course in the past is pretty excited because they get the added benefit of coming back to take it every year for free. So they were all toe-tapping last year, hoping for it to come back around this year, and everybody's excited for it, myself included. Because that's the really cool thing about our love lives, is there's just no point when we're done. There isn't a brass ring. You don't get the thing and then not have to worry about it. It's a constant evolution. And because you are a constant evolution, you are a human who is constantly evolving and growing, partnered with another human who is constantly growing. That's a recipe for a lot of evolution within a relationship. So we can at times be in the ecstasy and appreciation of our relationship going incredibly smoothly, and at times be in the stagnation or frustration of things not going as smoothly. And we can oscillate between those in moments or days or weeks or months. And the really beautiful part about relationships and the evolution of them and our growth within them is that it has, yes, some to do with the relationship, but it has so much to do with you. It has so much to do with you. A dear friend of mine, when I asked, like, okay, but how are you really doing the other day? And he said, okay, well, if I'm being honest, I'm just still in this place of relationship questioning. I'm still in this place of questioning. And he didn't have to explain anymore because I know his patterning and I know his wounds. And so my only response was to say, keep going. Keep going. It doesn't matter what winds up happening in the future, whether it's this person or another person, just keep going. Keep fighting, keep working, keep putting the effort in, because every little bit of progress that you make is a progress step in your healing, in your growth, in your evolution. And I know that sometimes we get frustrated and we get mad and we're like, I don't want to put the effort into this relationship because I don't even know if it's going to stick around. I don't even know if he's the one. I don't see him doing any work. Well, that's really cutting off your nose to spite your face, which is such a weird phrase. But it is. It's why would we rob ourselves of that growth, that expansion, because we're mad at the other person and we want to punish the relationship? It's so silly, because every little bit of expansion and growth and evolution that you get is yours to keep. Nobody can take that back. We have this idea that if we, let's say you put 10 years worth of effort and work into a relationship, and then that relationship ended in a breakup or a divorce. And I'm raising my hand here. This is truly from experience. You don't lose all of the progress that you made, because you were evolving with that relationship the entire time. It was growing and changing and growing and changing. It's not like all of a sudden you go back to square one where you were 10 years ago. You don't attract your new relationship from the version of you that existed 10 years ago. You attract your new relationship from where you're at now. So however far this relationship that just ended got, that's where the new one begins. You don't go back to home and start all over again. You start up at, you know, Park Place or far around the board you got. That's a terrible analogy because that board goes in a circle. But, you know, whatever. If we're climbing like up a ladder, up a mountain, if you started at zero and you got up to 8,000 feet, you don't drop back down to zero because you broke up with someone. Like, we think that's the case, and it's not the freaking case. You are still the person that you built through all the challenges and successes and intimacies and vulnerabilities and shutdown and everything else that you experienced in that relationship. You take all of that with you. And the next relationship that you get into, you start that relationship at 8,000 feet. So I want to talk about the biggest potential cock block in your relationship. I'm such a fan of that phrase, and I love that I get to use it in a podcast. So resentment is the biggest cock block in so many relationships. And I know that those of you who are parents are like, no, it's not, it's kids. But here's why I say that. When we feel resentment, which, what is resentment? Resentment is like, I got my feelings hurt, usually I got my feelings hurt, and then I carried that hurt with me. I didn't get over it. I didn't heal from it. I carried that wound with me. And what do we do when we have a wound? We bandage it and protect it, and then we guard against it, right? And when we have resentment going on, we close. We shut down. We shut our hearts. It's a closing of our hearts. And closing your heart is a stifling feeling. When you are used to feeling fairly open-hearted, when something comes along and you react by closing your heart, it feels like my lung capacity gets restricted. If you've ever worn like something that was too tight around your chest, or like a corset cinched too tight, or a sports bra that was way too small for you for too long, and after a while you start to feel really restricted in it, and yeah, you're functioning fine, but you're kind of like, get this fucking thing off me. That's how I feel when something comes along and my reaction to it is to shut my heart. And really, resentment is so front and foremost in doing that. And I'm going to make a generalization here, and forgive me. Oftentimes, women are the champions of resentment. We're just really good at this. It happens, certainly. Certainly for dudes, for masculine-oriented folks, But really, oftentimes, I see this coming from the feminine. And I'm not sure if this is primarily because we worry about stepping on someone else's toes, or we don't always have the skills and tools to heal, or there's a million explanations I could give and guesses, and I think it varies person to person. What I do know working with people in relationships is that this is a really chronic thing that a lot of women carry. And I carried a lot, like a lot of resentment in several past relationships, actually. In one in particular, there had been a lot of hurt. I had gotten hurt a lot at the beginning of that relationship, and I struggled to heal from that. I really did. Even with all of my tools and all of my everything, it was a lot for me to try to heal from. And resentment stuck around. I held on to it for a number of different reasons, and I was rather embarrassed and ashamed to realize that one of the primary reasons I kept a hold of it was because I wanted my partner to pay for it. I was waiting for my partner to somehow fix the wounds that I had received. Because even though I know I'm a creator of my reality, I really, really wanted to blame it all on him. And certainly, nobody would look at this circumstance and say, Kara, that was your fault. For sure. It was all obvious to anyone and everyone, himself included, that this was his responsibility, right? His actions. However, I attracted it to me. And even more importantly, the wounds that I got from it were because of my reaction to the situation. And that is not to say that I should have done anything differently, but those were my kuleana, we say, responsibility. Those were mine, which means I had the power, and only I had the power to heal them. He could apologize from here to the moon and back, but nothing was going to really heal those. And this deep sort of subconscious part of me wanted him to pay. This deep part of me wanted revenge. And I was holding on to the resentment for years. I mean, it was eating me alive. Not all the time, but once in a while, when it would rear up. Usually anytime I got a little annoyed, all of a sudden wash of resentment would come running in like a charge of stallions or something. And it would shut me down, and it would weigh me down, and it would constrict me, and it would make it hard for me to feel the way I like to feel, this open-hearted, love-filled being I like to be, because I would feel cramped by this resentment. And when I finally realized I was holding the resentment because I wanted revenge, I wanted him to pay, and expecting resentment to do that is like taking a knife and saying, I'm going to get you, and turning around and stabbing yourself with the knife repeatedly. Like, I was the one who was suffering from this resentment. I mean, perhaps it put a cramp in his day once in a while, but let's be honest, like, however much it affected him was way less than it was affecting me. And I finally got to a place where I was like, okay, I'm going to have to learn how to get over my resentment, or I'm going to have to get out of this relationship, because he's not going to fix it. I have been wanting him to, and it's not possible because it isn't his. He has no control over it. And when I finally realized that, I was able to start releasing the resentment. And I want to teach you, and you're going to think this is overly simple, and you're going to maybe brush it off. And I really want you to not do that. So I'm going to try really hard. Just do me a favor here and see if you can stay open-minded with me on this. I'm going to tell you the cure for resentment. And this is a longer-term cure. And yes, of course, I did a lot of healing. Yes. And up until the point when I really started focusing on releasing the resentment itself, I had done a lot of healing. There had been a lot of trauma healing. in a myriad of different ways. So I'm not saying you get to skip all that shit, but a lot of you've done it already, just like I had. And you're just carrying around the resentment like this big empty backpack. Like you healed the wounds, but you've still got this backpack because you're like, motherfucker, I'm going to hit you with this thing, or somehow I'm gonna find a way. Or maybe you carry it around because you're like, if I carry this backpack, then I'll remember how bad it was and that'll keep me from attracting it again. Yeah, not so much. So the cure for resentment is appreciation. Appreciation is the place that we want to return to in our relationship. And if you are in a relationship right now and I said to you, quick, off the top of your head, I want you to name 50 things you appreciate about your partner. How easy would that be for you to do? When we're deep in resentment, the answer is pretty effing hard. Because what we really want to do is tell you all the reasons that they suck. If I said, can you name 50 things that drive you crazy about your partner? How easy would that be? Most people would find the second request way easier than the first request. Think about your circle of friends, and when you get together, how often do they say things that are driving them nuts or things that they're challenged by with their partner? And how often do they say, she's such a dreamboat, he's so amazing, they do all these amazing things, let me tell you about the nice things they did for me. It's not really societally normal for us. And that, I think, is one of the big heartbreaks in our modern society, is like, where did this appreciation go? Why don't we model it? Why don't we talk about it? If you walk around saying, and I know because I try to do this, how amazing your partner is and how amazing your relationship is, people don't always dig it. It's weird. I find it easier sometimes for me to say those things online where I don't have to feel people's immediate reaction than to say them in person when there's a group of people, because it's awkward. I mean, can you imagine I'm sitting down with a group of girlfriends and they're like, oh my God, if my husband asked me for another blowjob without doing the dishes, this is really an R-rated podcast, you're welcome. I can't even believe how many times do I have to teach you how to put a sheet on a bed, blah, 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 right? We do this. And then here's me. And I was like, oh my gosh, you guys, guess what my fiance did? The way he looks at me when I do something silly that would drive another person crazy, it's like with so much love and adoration. And then when he goes out and he's like mowing the lawn and then he comes back in, he never says, how come you don't help me with the yard work? He doesn't ever say that. He's just like, hey, I did the yard work. You want to hear how many times my man does dishes? Because it's like way more than I do. Like way more. It would be so awkward. It is so awkward when I say those things. I have to try to remember to say them before people start complaining about their partners. Otherwise, it looks like I'm trying to shame people, which I'm definitely not trying to do. So oftentimes, I just keep my mouth shut. Or how many times has this happened to you where you don't actually feel anything negative towards your partner, but you're hanging out with a bunch of people and everyone's talking about how crummy it is, and they finally hit on something that reminds you of something, and you go, oh yeah, it does drive me nuts that blah, 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 blah. And you kind of jump into it, maybe because they sort of got you round up, or maybe because you just wanted to belong, right? I can't tell you how often this has happened to me. So what does it take for us to return to a state of appreciation? Love and appreciation are really, really close, similar vibrations. One of the things that really frustrates me is this idea that we have in our society of falling in love. I love, by the way, the idea of falling in love. Let me say that differently. What frustrates me is that we have an understanding, we think, of what it means to fall in love. But we create, this is the part that frustrates me, we create this really fucked up, delusional idea of falling out of love. We think that falling in love and falling out of love are things that happen one time, and they are finite, and they are totally out of our control. And that's just not the way it works. Love is like a faucet, and you are in charge of the handle, and you can turn it on or off. You can fall in love and out of love. Now, whether you're a romantic compatible match with a person is usually what denotes and how open and receptive and ready you both are, of course, the right time in life and all those things, what denotes whether or not you fall in love with a specific individual. If those things are there and you fall in love with the person, and then 6 months later or 6 years later, that person's kind of driving you crazy and you've been spending a little too much time together and, I don't know, they just had the flu and you've been under a lot of stress at work and nobody's putting in any effort and you're like, I just fell out of love with them. And we say that all fucking wistfully, like, oh, it's finite. Oh no, did your relationship end? What happened? I fell out of love. Motherfucker, you stopped putting in effort. And no, I don't get mad at people when they say this. I've had this experience before. And I put in a crap ton of effort. But oftentimes, when we act like I fell out of love and I didn't want to, because that's really the way we're acting about it, is I fell out of love and it was totally out of my control. And now there's nothing anyone can do about it. I had a dear friend reach out to me at some point and say, like, Kara, can I talk to you about my relationship? And I was like, of course. And I told him this phenomenon, this faucet idea, you know? He's like, I'm not sure if we love each other anymore. And I was like, well, it's a faucet. So my question isn't, do you love each other anymore? That doesn't matter. And my question is, do you want to turn the faucet back on? Are you willing to put in some effort? And if the answer is no, then hurrah, great, you fell out of love, right? You're done. Okay. And now you can move on. But if the answer is, yeah, I still want to be with this person, you are not helpless. I promise you. I can't tell you how many times I have fallen in and out of love within a relationship. And I don't throw the back of my hand to my head and, oh no, I've fallen out of love. I go, damn it. I stopped appreciating. Okay, well, time to get my appreciation back. And for me, there's a couple things I do to do that. Number one, I get alone time. I go be by myself, or I go spend time with friends, or I get away from my partner and out of the house. I know this is harder to do when you have young kids, because a little bit of distance sometimes is all it takes. I go out into the world and I stop. What I'm doing when I do that is I'm removing myself from the things that are annoying me that I was letting myself focus on instead of appreciation. So that's a first piece. I go get some space. Oftentimes, I go out and I run to the store and an hour later, I'm like texting, I'm so grateful for you. I just love you so much. You're so wonderful. Thank you for being my partner. In true, like, I really mean it. Or I go spend an afternoon with some friends and my heart is all full and I'm like, oh, you're the best. I'm just so grateful for you. The other piece that I enact when I realize that I'm starting to get to that place of like lack of appreciation, and I'm giving you examples here for short-term lack of appreciation, okay? I'll tell you a little bit more about big-term lack of appreciation. So if you've been resenting your partner for the last 5 years and you, people say this a lot, like, I love them, but I don't like them, right? So you're missing a lot of that appreciation. It's not going to turn around by spending an afternoon with your friends, most likely. So short term, there are easy solutions. And oftentimes all it takes is me shifting appreciation a little bit. So just think, okay, what are the things about this person that I love and appreciate? Because I've been putting effort into the things that I don't love and appreciate. So here's the recipe for falling in love. You notice repeatedly all the wonderful things about that person. This is what happens when you meet someone that you're compatible with. This is what naturally happens, right? What do you tell your friends about new relationships that you're in? Oh my God, he does this and he does this. He's got these big, strong hands and he actually has a job and he's really nice to dogs. We notice all these really great things about a person. What do you over time start to do? Over time, oftentimes, you begin to notice the things that you don't like so much. So if you were ever in a relationship and you were like, oh no, I need to fall out of love with this person, I'd be like, I've got the recipe for you. Just go around and start paying attention to cataloging and noticing all the things that they do that drive you nuts. Kara, I don't think I can do that. I am so madly in love with this person. I just think they hung the moon. Just try. Okay, I guess I'll look. Well, she doesn't ever clean the toilet. And it's not that I expect her to clean toilets. No, no, no. I mean, she's wonderful and she does all the amazing things. She's smoking hot and blah, blah, blah. But it is weird that we've been together all these years and I'm the only one that cleans a toilet. I mean, do you not even notice it? Okay, and honestly, sometimes she's got like hairballs all over the bathroom. Like, who sheds that much? Right? So bit by bit, you can see these tiny little things that we begin to notice in relationships and they're just tiny little snowballs. And over time, they become avalanches because we keep adding snow to them. I can't believe they did this. I can't believe they did that. Oh my gosh, do they have to snore so loud? Why does their breath smell so weird after they eat that fucking salsa? Blah, 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 right? And we don't put any effort into the snowballs of appreciation. None. And then pretty soon, you're the person who comes home and your partner's like, hey, I made dinner and I did the dishes. And you're like, oh, thanks. That's great. Because you drove into the driveway thinking, I had to get the fucking mail again. And I guess you don't even remember to do this. And you haven't even noticed the fact that da 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 da. I got a haircut last week. You didn't see it. I said something nice. You didn't acknowledge it. You're playing all these things over and over in your head. So the big negative tank is overflowing, and when they try and do something positive, you don't give a shit anymore. So coming home to appreciation is really important. I'm gonna tell you a story. One day I was driving down the street. I was a passenger. My partner was driving. We were coming down the street and I was overwhelmed with appreciation. And I turned around and I go, you know what one of the things that I really, really, really appreciate about you is? And he was like, what? And I tell him some, you do this and this and this and all that other thing. And he goes, are you doing that thing where you appreciate me so that you don't want to kill me? And I laughed so hard, I must have snorted. And I was like, no, I wasn't. I just legitimately got overwhelmed by this feeling, but I really do actually do that. And he goes, oh, I know. And I had never told him before that when he started to drive me nuts and I recognized like, oh, I'm getting really annoyed at this person, then I stop and I breathe and I come back to appreciation. And he was aware of it. He's quite the empath. So he picked up on that. So what's really interesting is what happens to the other person when we shift into appreciation. In relationship alchemy, the very first thing that I tell people, actually there's a couple, but one of the first assignments that I give them is for the duration of this program, I am asking you, this is a requirement, I'm asking you, please, 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 you have to stop complaining about your partner. And that means out loud, in your journal, or in your head. And it's not going to be easy and you're going to slip up, but effort has to go into this because you have been building up that avalanche of negative stuff for so long. And for the people who are trying to attract a relationship in, the exact same thing goes. No more complaining about being single. No more complaining about and pointing out and noticing all the negative things in other people's relationships. No more complaining about the dating scene. No more complaining about the people that you go on dates with or the lack of people you go on dates with. No more complaining, period, for the duration of this program. We're going to do it like a science experiment and see what happens. I don't tell them what's going to happen. I don't tell them what to expect. But I make them all promise. The next thing I have them do is begin a gratitude practice of actually writing down. So this is the practice that I would assign to someone if they've been in a relationship for quite a while and it needs some love. Okay. Maybe it's real negative, or maybe it's just pretty good, but you want it to be amazing. Start a journal where you write down every day three things that you appreciate about your partner. This is a secret journal. You don't show it to them. You don't tell them about it. I mean, I don't care if you do at some point. You could give it to them as a gift someday if you want to, but that's not the point of it. The point of it is for you. You're not telling them. You're not anything else. You're just taking time. And people come back to me inevitably, not very far usually into this relationship, and I mean into this program, and they're like, Kara, I cannot believe the change that has happened in my relationship. And I'm like, you don't say. Because relationships are growing, living, breathing things, right? Okay, maybe not so much breathing, but they're like a plant. And you're telling me that when you stopped dumping poison and toxic crap all over this plant every day, and you started giving it water and sunlight and food, it blossomed? It thrived? You're telling me that your relationship reacted even though you never told your partner you were doing this. And this is what I did to heal my resentment. That previous partner came up to me one time and said, I don't know what you're doing, but it's changing everything. Please keep doing it. Thank you. Whatever it is you're doing, I know it's you. I know something has shifted. Whatever you're doing, thank you. And I never told him. I never told him that I was writing. I spent 4 months every day. I mean, I'm sure I forgot days here and there, but for 4 months every day, I wrote something I appreciated. Do you know how many things that is? It's a lot of things, okay? Remember I asked you, could you do 50 off the top of your head? Well, that was thousands, right? I think must be. So the shift in my relationship was really remarkable. And of course, there were days when I didn't feel frickin' appreciation. I didn't want to think of things. I could have told you 100 things I was annoyed about. But I sat down and I dug deep and I looked for things that I appreciated. And it changed fundamentally who I was. It changed how I viewed. It softened my heart and eventually opened everything back up, and the resentment dissolved away. And the people in this program noticed the difference in their relationship really, really, really quickly. And I've had people say to me, I just can't wait for the course to start up again this year, partially just so that I can do the practices of stopping criticizing and shifting back to appreciation with my partner. Because I noticed that when we were doing relationship alchemy and for the months afterwards, my relationship was amazing. And now it's kind of slumped a little bit because I haven't been putting any effort into it. And what happens to your houseplants if you stop watering them, right? Your relationships are the same. Okay, go get your journal. Do your appreciation practice. If you are single, it's the same thing. I want you to write down things that you appreciate about relationships, things that you appreciate about being single, things that you appreciate about previous partners that you've had, things that you appreciate about the future partner you will have. If you can sit in a place of appreciation, it opens your heart. And who are the people that you want to date? The ones who are closed off and bitter or the ones who are open-hearted, right? And do it for yourself. Do it selfishly. I don't care if you have the crappiest of crap partners. Appreciation opens your heart. It doesn't mean you're stuck staying with a crap partner. You could still leave them. And you can leave them with a heart full of appreciation. Okay, I got one more little sales pitch on this for you, okay? On why I want you to try this. Have you seen what happens in relationships over time? There's this really common phenomenon that happens where a husband leaves his wife after they've been together like 20 years or something. And again, I'm going to talk in real generalities here, okay? So bear with me. Bear with me through this super generalizations. So a husband leaves his wife and goes off to date someone much younger. And we look at that and we say, what an ass. He must be going through a midlife crisis. And he's just trying to stroke his own ego and make himself feel good about himself by dating someone who's younger than him. And sometimes that's probably true. But when we look a little closer, there's a repetitive pattern that happens in relationships. Again, forgive the generalization here. Man and woman get together. Man is crap at relationships, okay? This is when they're younger. Takes them a really long time to figure it out. Woman gets her feelings hurt a lot in the beginning. She builds up a lot of resentment over time. By the time they've been in relationship for a long time, he's just kind of starting to hit his stride. He's starting to figure this shit out. Now he knows how to give birthday cards and help out around the house and have foreplay and I don't know, whatever else these common things are, right? This is a really general story I'm telling you. It's not the same for everyone, obviously, but it's so common that it bears looking at. So now it's 20 years in or 15 or 30 or whatever, and he's finally kind of a like pretty awesome partner. He buys anniversary presents. He takes out the trash. He, you know, shows gratitude, but a lot of it is lost because there is so much old pain and resentment built up and the woman is hurt and her heart is closed. So all the good stuff that is happening isn't getting in. And a lot of the times when someone leaves a relationship and then goes and looks for a younger version, sometimes what they're looking for is someone who's not jaded, who's not bitter and closed. And yeah, there's really shallow people out there. There's really shallow men and women who just want someone who's young and hot and dumb. Okay? But it is worth recognizing that when you look around at relationships and people who've been together a long time, oftentimes there's a person who's holding a lot of resentment and a person who is finally in a space of trying hard. And if you think you might be in one of those kind of relationships, fear not, because now you have the practice. Now you've got it, because I was sitting there, okay? If you try this, please, please, please tell me how it goes. If you take nothing else out of this, stop complaining about your partner. And that's not to say that you don't get to recognize or acknowledge the things that are hurting you, but do that in a healthy space that's about healing, not just constantly complaining in your head, or worse yet, to a bunch of other people. For those of you that are curious about what it looks like to take a relationship that's like pretty awesome, or just a tad stale, or maybe even kind of struggling, and turn it into the relationship that you always dreamed of, or for those of you who are ready to call in that dream partner and you are ready to look at the work of getting all the blocks out of the way so that that can manifest to you with ease, relationship alchemy's coming. All right, loves. Thank you all for listening. I hope you'll join us for Relationship Alchemy. I teach this 7-week course live once a year and enrollment is now open. This is not your average relationship course. This is an opportunity to get into the energetics of your love life and shift things to be the way that you dream of. If you're in a relationship and ready for a reset, ready to fall more in love, ready to call forth all that you desire from this partnership, or if you are single and ready to call in that relationship of your wildest dreams without repeating old patterns or carrying forward old baggage, join us for Relationship Alchemy. You don't have to take my word for it. Here's the way one participant described it. This will help heal your relationship without having to dig up all your shit and therapize your way through. It is soul level healing. All you have to do is show up. So if that sounds good to you, there's a link in the show notes, or just head to the website, caraviana.com, for the details. With the deepest celebration of you and your capacity to love. We'll see you next week.